This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing as directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Yo, what's good, yo? Welcome to another episode of Fun With Dumb. We've been having all types of artists, fashion people, comedians, actors on board. Today is one of my favorite artists and friends, local friends of Koreatown. We have Joseph Lee, who is a painter and actor. How you doing, Joseph?
Good, man. How about yourself?
Okay, that was so formal and shit. What's good, man? How are you, first and foremost?
Good, man. Yeah, just been working. I got an exhibit coming up in a few weeks, November 16th. So pretty much just hibernating in the studio, just painting away.
That's what's up. I'm going to put this out literally next week so people can go to this. You know what I mean?
Thank you, man. That'd be great.
I could be a dick and put it out like a week after your exhibit. You know?
Yeah.
But I'm going to put it out next week so you have people who are watching this will have... a week or two to go to the exhibit because it might not be actually a week after. But
Dude, yeah, I mean, can I just say, like, you're like the K-Town Letterman now, man. You're like the guy to speak to.
Nah, bro.
This is amazing, man.
The K-Town Letterman. I'm trying to be the global Letterman. Fuck the K-Town Letterman.
Yes, corrected.
Between Vermont and Western, I am the K-Town Letterman.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But for those who aren't familiar, I mean, for those who follow me, you might have seen some of his work through the mural he painted for me on my music video, which is on Catalina and 8th Street on Catalina's liquor store, which was recently vandalized. That's our baby. I feel like our baby just got vandalized.
Still standing, though.
Still standing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys have seen his work. And then you guys can check out his Instagram, too. There's a distinctive style. Why don't you talk about your style a little bit? Because... I mean, it's evolved a little bit.
Sure,
You have a different. I feel like it's like a seasonal, inspirational thing that you got going. But right now, there's a lot of work where the images and characters you paint, their faces are covered, right?
Right.
And is there like a meaning behind that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not formally trained. I didn't go to an art school, so I can't really give you like a proper intellectual answer.
Yeah.
But like, if what I'd have to say is I feel like my work is almost like a schism in between like abstract and realism. Mm. And, you know, when I first started, I just wanted to be technically good. And so, you know, I would just copy, you know, still lifes and just whatever art that I enjoyed. And then from there, I think gradually, organically, it just started kind of forming into my own style. And then, I mean, specifically with what I'm doing right now, I was in Korea filming like last year. And I was there for about like 3 months, and I hit this weird kind of like identity crisis moment. Mm. Timing was very interesting because at the time, I was kind of getting a little bored with my paintings. I felt a little static. And then this opportunity came around where I could just get out of the studio and just, you know, switch gears and go film in Korea for 3 months.
What, identity crisis meaning in like what you were doing in your life, or like what kind of identity in general, you know, like is it a Korean-American thing or artist, actor thing?
I mean, just as like a 30-year-old that... hasn't figured himself out yet, you know, just like this pathetic feeling, you know.
I feel you completely 100% on that.
Yeah, and well, you know, I think, you know, I grew up in the Midwest, so I think like I always felt a little out of place growing up, and I think we all have this like romantic idea of like Korea being the motherland, like that's going to be the spot where we can finally feel at home and be welcome, you know. And so finally when I got this opportunity to go, not that I got any, you know, negative treatment or any type of racist feelings, but you still feel a little out of place.
Right.
And so then it kind of falls back to me of like, man, like we're just kind of stuck in this gray area. You know, we're in this weird kind of niche place in our lives where it's like a tug and pull between these like two opposing cultures. And we're just trying to like finagle our way through it. So through that, I think my work became a little bit more ambiguous. I started to kind of peel back some of the layers of my own work and kind of bleeding away from like the realistic style and just to kind of, almost kind of like a self-assessment and trying to figure myself out.
Right. Yeah. And did that experience in Korea kind of help that? Like,
totally, man.
What kind of experiences did you have in Korea? What up, y'all? Fun with Dumb is brought to you by Skillshare. I've been talking to you guys about this for weeks. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of amazing classes covering dozens of creative and entrepreneurial skills. Lifelong learning is something that's very important to me. I know everybody goes to that K-12 university and think they're done. But no, I stay learning and expanding and growing. And sometimes you also just need to brush up on your skills. And this website has done that for me, Skillshare.com. I brushed up on things like photography or certain softwares that I've been using in the past with Photoshop or Pro Tools, just anything. I can apply this to anything that I'm doing right now. And there's even stuff that can just help your productivity, better help lessons. And there's also levels from beginner to intermediate to advanced. It's really well done. Check out Skillshare.com right now. And for all my listeners, I'm going to offer a special offer where you can get 2 months of Skillshare for free. That's right. Skillshare is offering Fun with Dumb listeners 2 months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. For those 2 months, you can take any of these classes. And to sign up, you just got to go to Skillshare.com. That's Skillshare.com/dumb, D-U-M-B, to start your 2 months for free now. That's Skillshare.com/dumb, D-U-M-B. Go to Skillshare.com/dumb, D-U-M-B. You won't regret it.
Well, I mean, working there, you know, when I wasn't working, I'd either be cooped up in my studio or my hotel, and which I kind of just turned it into like a makeshift studio. I would just be painting all
That's
day.
Crazy. I wonder how that looks. Like, just is it just a canvas by the window? And
yeah, well, I mean, I feel bad. Those workers probably aren't happy. I was doing that. And then anytime I wasn't shooting, I'd just be like walking around by myself, just going to galleries.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to meet just, you know, some of the local artists out there. And, you know, as you know, like Korea's just got its own distinct style and aesthetic to everything.
Right.
And there's like a real appreciation in like minimalism that to me, like it blew my mind. Like I was never really into like abstract art. Mm-hmm. I didn't really get it. I always had this like pretentious notion of it. Until I went there, like I really started discovering like calculated usage of minimalism.
Right.
And that really affected my work. And so for me, it's that whole concept of like less is more. Mm. And I think I started to kind of trim the fat in a lot of my work.
Yeah, and you were out there filming for a Korean drama, right?
Yeah.
That how was that experience? That's always that's crazy, because like we grew up, you know, our parents watching Korean dramas, and your Korean isn't your first language.
Sure.
So was that a challenge in general?
Yeah. So when I initially went out there to meet with the director and the writer, you know, they had pitched me the character, and they said, hey, you know, the guy's like Korean American, so you know, don't worry about the Korean, you know, as much.
Right, right.
I get out there like a week before filming, and they throw me one of the scripts, and it's just like in all Korean. And I'm like,
you're like, what happened to this?
Hey guys, yeah. You know, this is about, you know, 30 years of Korean that I know that I need to somehow like learn in a week. So yeah, I mean, there was definitely the initial shock, but
it must have been a challenge. They put that script on you and you had to memorize this like within a week or so.
Totally. Yeah. And it's like a 3-step process where, you know, you have to read it. You have to, right. You have to learn how to say it in a proper fashion, and then also put it into context and be able to act it. And, you know, with that being said, you know, they set me up with a tutor and, you know, the whole team was great. And,
yeah, well, wasn't your character like a doctor or something, like a foreigner?
He was like an adoptee. He was like a CEO of a company that was coming back to take over his father's company.
I see.
Yeah, yeah, so.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of a dream of mine to be in a Korean drama.
Yeah,
yeah, but I imagine that's the type of character I would have too, like a Kyopo, like a foreigner character, right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Visiting and all of a sudden fall in love with one of the locals, and you know, we start family, whatever.
Right. yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, I think like the experience more than the actual show, and you know, obviously that was great. I just wanted to like reconnect with the culture.
Yeah,
you know, like so I told myself even before going there, I'm going to fully dive in.
You know,
I don't want to portray myself socially or through work as the foreigner, as the American.
Yeah.
I truly want to not only learn the language, but I want to learn the customs. I want to go around, and I really want to, you know, just place myself in this setting.
I mean, you're in Koreatown, so this is like the starter kit. You know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it definitely helped. It definitely helped. Yeah.
I mean, you're from like the Detroit area, right? Is that where you're from?
No, misconception. I mean, those are a lot of my friends.
Oh, yeah. You're in Indiana area. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like even more Shigor Saram than them.
Yeah, because they, your friends who are mutual friends, they're from up there, and there's like a Korean community. But in Indiana, there isn't a Korean community.
I mean, there's like one church with like 5 people, but like.
And that's the Korean community.
Yeah, I mean, luckily. Like my small town revolved around this this college, Purdue University, and so there was a lot of like exchange students,
right.
And I mean, just going to school there was like my first exposure of like meeting all these different shades of Koreans,
right?
Like LA cats, New York cats.
I think college is kind of that, you know.
Yeah,
I always say like that would make a good show idea where it's like. Based around an Asian club at a university,
totally.
Because you can experience all the different types of Asians, you know.
Right.
I've played so many college shows that I see all the different Asians in this Asian club, like the adoptee, the cool Filipino kid, you know, one random black dude in the Asian club.
Sure. There's always that guy. Yeah.
There's always one dude showing mad love. But that when you went to university, that was your experience with a lot of the Asian culture or what?
Yeah, and I mean, even that, there was like the initial shock of you know, seeing all these Koreans. It almost felt like being in like a church retreat again,
right?
Where you have all these like different churches like coming together.
Yeah,
and you know, for me, it was like the cool Koreans per se were like the coastal Koreans, right? To me, I'm not to tree branch, but like I remember YouTubing you in college.
Oh,
and seeing some of your battle videos.
And
like, aside from like the lyricism, aside from the obvious talent, the self-confidence on this guy blew my fucking mind.
Well, I will say like Koreatown helped me with that. You know what I'm saying? If you come from a town like in Koreatown, it's like it's all these Korean kids who walk around. They don't have the experience of like the Midwest Asian kid.
Sure.
You know, like the kids here are cocky as shit and they walk around like, and it, like if somebody were to say some like shit to them, like, they're in some shit. They're gonna get in some shit. You know, there's like mobs of Korean kids here.
But. Yeah, and I absolutely love that. Like moving here, like it was the first time I saw Koreans comfortable in their own skin.
Right, right.
And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And so for me, I mean, it's definitely helped me, and it's really like molded the way, you know, I view a lot of things myself just being in here. So.
And you were painting and drawing during that time too, right? Like growing up.
No,
since you were young. Oh, you weren't.
Yeah, I mean, I was doodling. I was doing.
That's
like,
true.
Yeah.
We talked about this. You're kind of a late bloomer.
Yeah,
to some of this, right? When did you start really going into the painting stuff?
I've been painting like about 6 years.
Oh wow!
So I, you know,
that's initially crazy, bro. Like yeah. You've got you're pretty advanced for 6 years, bro.
I'm just an only child, and I have like no friends. So I'm easily entertain myself, you know, easily. So I moved here to pursue acting. Mm. You know, I was waiting tables part time, and then you know just tried to get in through like the dinner shift. You know, I'd be like, you know, pouring down coffee, and so by the time my shift was over and I was home, I was all hyped up, and I needed right. something to do to calm me down. So you know, I would just sketch or I would paint, and then I'm just you know just for fun throw it up on Instagram.
Yeah,
and then over time, you know, it just kind of grew and
started developing a style.
Yeah, and then oddly enough, people started paying for it. So I was like, all right, you know,
right,
let me
right.
just you know quit my job and you know ride this out.
That's tight. Yeah. I mean, did you always like? I mean. You know, with a lot of artists, I always wonder, like, when you figure out your style, like, when does that happen? Like, were you doing all different types of stuff and different mediums until it kind of molded into that? Or were you always pretty, like, thematic and, you know, with your style?
Well, like, I didn't really have that many resources to, like, pick from. Mm. For me, I was like, all right, what do I enjoy? What do I like to see?
Yeah.
And my closest resource was, you know, having a theater background, the acting sense, where, you know, you're essentially your job is to pick up human behavior
right.
and to observe people. And so to me, yeah, I mean, just without trying to get all philosophical and artsy, I, you know, that was the closest thing in my wheelhouse that I could pick from to paint.
Right.
Yeah. And then... in terms of style, I definitely had some influences. I mean, I don't even know how we do this, how people did this before social media.
Right,
you
right.
know, I mean, you're just saturated with so much information in front of you.
Yeah, but so. you would paint a lot of people that you looked up to or whatnot, right? Because you're all about people, like
sure,
your characters and stuff. It's crazy because I feel like I got some stuff from you.
You being one of them.
Artwork, thank you, bro. But I remember getting artwork from you, like. 3 years ago or so you've been painting, was like only painting for like 3 years then or so, you know.
Yeah, I think one of my first pieces was, remember that mask I gave you back at that Pico house?
I got
house?
The mask at the crib.
Yeah.
I'm holding on to that, bro. I'm putting that in the glass case.
yeah
that shit was fire, man. I mean I've all these years seeing your canvases, going to your studio, you know, I love your stuff.
Thanks, man.
I gave him a couple of jackets to paint on that I've been waiting a couple months now, you know what I'm
yes.
saying?
Yes, still coming.
Still coming. Cool. I'm waiting on that, you know, it's going to get fire, bro.
Yeah. And, dude, I got to personally thank you, too. I mean, I tell you this, but, you know, you were truly like one of my earliest supporters, and you know, you've always looked out for me, so and plus that just being a good friend, so I appreciate
no
you.
For sure. I mean, that mural already was like, so it was just a cool thing for like K-Town, and seeing that there, like, it was special to me, see that in my neighborhood. I was like, oh damn, that's love right there, you
sure.
know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
and the store, the liquor store, is still showing love. Like, it's vandalized, but they're still keeping it up,
right?
I got fans still taking pictures with the vandalized mural. I'm like, yeah. okay, all right.
I still have people come up to me and ask, like, are you mad, or you know, I'm like, yeah. not at all.
No, I like what you said about it. It's like, it is the ecosystem of the neighborhood, like things totally. Like that happen, and it's completely okay. And dude, it's right. had a way better run than I even expected from the jump, you
right,
know what I'm
right.
saying? Like, graffiti is just, that's just part of the shit, you know.
Yeah.
It goes down, you know, and you can't control it, and everyone who, it's like everybody who, you know, engages in that, passes by it, it's, they're all part of the neighborhood too,
right,
whether
right.
it's the gangs or whatever, everyone's
sure.
part of the neighborhood. But anyways, yeah, man, you've been doing really well with the acting side of things too, you know, like you've been really killing it as an artist, but the acting shit in the last year with Searching,
sure,
yeah. you know, I just kind of bring that up just because it's like, it's cool to see a homie in like a successful film and shit. And
thanks, man.
For those who aren't familiar, he played the younger brother of John Cho on Searching, which sent me for a whirlwind of a roller coaster. The movie was fire, and you did a great job on it.
Thanks, man.
Did you enjoy that experience?
I did. I mean, I think I can speak on behalf of all the actors where I felt like we were like the spoiled ones.
Mm.
I mean, it was truly like
right.
an editor's movie.
That's true.
And,
yeah.
We just, you know, we just happened to be along for the ride.
Yeah, yeah. And how long, I think I asked you like how long of a shoot that was. That was like a really short shoot too, right?
Man, we shot that, I think it was like 21 days.
Yeah.
And then the editing took about like a year and a half.
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to be there for the editing part? Or
no, thank God. Yeah, but you know, it was just, it was like a project where I think we just all kind of forgot about it.
Right.
You know, I have so much more respect for people like John Cho and Deborah Messing to like attach themselves to this, because you know, for me it's like, I'll take a job, sure.
right.
But for them to have, you know, their stature and to decide to work with a first time director, Anish Chaganti, who I believe was like 24, 25 at the time.
Right.
I mean it's extraordinary.
Did you not know that the film was gonna be that? Like when
not
you were waiting
all.
Around for that year or so and you kind of forgot about it, you probably had no idea that was gonna be the film, right?
No, I mean every couple of months or so I would, you know, email my my manager and be like, hey, is anything going on with this?
Right.
But you know, he couldn't get any information. I think they really did it purposefully of trying to keep it under wraps.
Mm.
And then as soon as it got into Sundance, then, you know, everything exploded from there.
Yeah, no, they did a really great job of incorporating all the different technological tools and apps.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, after, it was pretty like revolutionary in its own way, you know?
Yeah.
And then seeing all these other films afterwards coming out and storytelling through that.
Right. I think there were so many different ways to have made that movie gimmicky.
Right.
But every little nuance was, you know, it was just set right into place, and it translated perfectly for people.
I was like, that is exactly how an Asian father would find his missing daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, it was wild too. On a side story, I remember my second day on set. It was the day after the presidential election. So, you know, obviously like the country was in a bit of shock, and just showing up to set that day, you know, it was a bit quiet.
Mm.
People didn't really know how to, you know, handle themselves really in a collective way. And I remember just kind of sitting back and, you know, just noticing John and the way he was carrying himself that day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think his approach was to, obviously there's this giant elf in the room. Let's not shy away from these conversations, but let's just remember we're here to work.
Right.
And for me, as like a relatively younger actor, it was like a 101 class in professionalism and leadership. So, yeah, I mean, aside from the success of the film, like I felt like I walked away from that project with a lot of really good career and life lessons.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. I mean, was painting kind of, it seems like you kind of started painting at the same time you were pursuing acting in Los Angeles. Was that around the same, roughly?
Well, I mean, I came here pursuing acting.
Right.
And that wasn't really going anywhere. And so I just needed to stimulate myself creatively. And somehow it's just kind of balanced itself out where, you know, I'm able to kind of just switch boats, you know, here and there.
Does either craft kind of inspire the other or help out in any way? Or is it just kind of a way to, there's fucking crazy ambulances right here. But I mean, I feel like with acting, it's a lot of like hurry up and wait situations.
Sure, sure.
You know, so it's always good to have other extracurricular activities.
Of course.
You know? I mean, the acting has been, I act too, but it's slow a lot of times.
Sure.
You know, and I always need to keep busy.
Of course.
You know, keep your brain working. And I feel like this is almost an exercise for me to listen and talk. And it does kind of help me in the acting side as well.
Right.
You know,
right.
I feel like painting could be very meditative, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like you got to be focused a lot of times. Are you like a focused painter, or are you like scatterbrained when you work?
I'm truly not thinking about anything.
Yeah.
It's really just a period of time where I just shut things off.
Right.
I mean, to answer your question, you know, the acting side is great because it's a collaborative effort, and like there's some humility that comes from that, knowing like you're just a small piece to this, you know, big puzzle that needs to be put together. But the art side is just the complete opposite. It's just being me, purely being narcissistic, selfish with my own time, my own dictator. I do whatever the fuck I want.
Right.
And in a way, it's like I need both of those human elements to like balance each other out, to feel whole.
Right.
So, I don't know if the acting helps me. I think more so just emotionally. It just, the art side just gives me some sort of stability on my feet, just emotionally. I think that carries itself over. Like, I don't feel as desperate.
Right.
On the acting side as I used to.
That's true.
I mean, we've all been there, like walking into the audition, like, I need this job.
Right.
I got rent to pay. I need this
Honestly,
job.
Honestly, you know? That's a good point you brought up. Like, yeah. I like feeling like I have other things that I can fall back on, or not even fall back, but just that I know I'm more, like, I have things I'm equally passionate about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that feels great. It's like... like that desperation doesn't feel too great, you know, when you're in that situation.
Yeah, and people can smell it.
Yeah. What, like in the casting room? What, like?
Yeah, totally.
In the waiting room.
I mean, I wasn't conscious of this, but you know, the conversations that I have with my lady, because she's just brutally honest to me.
Yeah.
She's like, what are you doing? Like,
right.
You know, you look ridiculous. Like, calm down. I'm like, oh, all
right. So, right. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I know your last art show, you had like a whole show or a collection that was like dedicated to your girl.
Right? I'm doing that right now.
Oh, that's the project.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So the show is called Diana.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
bro.
Just keeping it simple.
Just like shitting on the rest of us guys over here with our chivalry and
trust me, I'm no saint. I have a lot of fixing to do.
That takes a lot to be like, okay, I'm gonna dedicate this whole thing. Has she been an inspiration or something to
you? 100%. I mean, it really wasn't that tough to even come up with this concept, because really I think the past 2 years with acting and the art side, I mean, my everything I just credit to my lady.
Wow.
Excuse me. And I mean that in the sense of like, I needed to be emotionally grounded, and you know, for me, just you know, my entire life has just been full of like insecurity and just anxiety and all that kind of stuff, and it's so easy for me to somewhat just be aloof and just be isolated in my own thoughts and just disconnect from the world and just do my work. And she was really the first person that got me out of that, and just to this day reminds me you need to have a balanced perspective on life, and so, you know, when you're with me, be with me, don't think about work. I don't want to talk about that kind of stuff, you know. And not that she isn't supportive, but you know, it's I found that to actually be a lot more creatively optimal. Like,
right?
You know, it's almost kind of, I don't know the scientific term, but there's that thing of a lot of creative people have their best ideas when they're doing the most mundane activities,
right?
Like when you're taking a shower or you're driving,
right?
And not that spending time with my lady is mundane, but just to get me out of that mindset of just working and just to refresh those senses.
That's interesting, because I've been confused about that with partners I've been trying to find. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, I'm with a girl who has nothing to do with my world,
right.
And I'm like, that's cool. But I'm like, do I want somebody to kind of be in my world too?
Sure, yeah.
You know, I'm like, what do I want? You know,
it's a tough boat, man.
It is.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of patience involved for people to have to deal with us. Yeah.
So when you're with your girl, you feel like you kind of get away from everything else you're doing, acting or painting, and just you kind of explore a whole other world, right? And get inspired in other places.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely with a concerted effort, you know. Like it's taken some time, and it's not something that I've been able to perfect, but it's good to have checks, and it's good to have people constantly reminding me to kind of step out of that mindset.
Is she like shy that you're doing a whole like show on her?
I mean, if she is, she hasn't expressed it to me, but
she might like it. She might be like, oh, that's
I think the shyness isn't really there because my style currently is a lot more abstract.
That's true.
And so if it literally was like her face posted everywhere, that might be a different story.
That's a good point.
But you know, she could kind of, you know, weave herself around it. So
that's hilarious.
And the
show is straight up called her name, Diana, and this is the one that you're premiering in like 2 weeks.
Yeah It's going to be at the No Wave Gallery. It's in Little Tokyo off of 3rd Street, and November 16th it opens to the public. And I haven't done a show in LA in about 3 years. And I feel like since that time I've exhibited everywhere but back home. So
what's your like when you promote a show like that, what is like your log line of what your inspiration was? I mean, obviously your girl, but is there is there like a takeaway from it for other people who would go to the show?
No. I mean, that's really the simple answer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't not to be pretentious about it, right. but like I don't really explain my work too much or get too deep into it.
It's a weird thing, right? Explaining your art.
It is.
Because like your art should be the explanation, you know?
Sure. Or you should just leave it up to whoever's, you know, observing the work. You know,
should,
you know, I feel like it's subjective, you know, as we all know, so.
That's always weird when people ask me, like, what was the inspiration behind the song? It's like, bro, listen to the song. Like, totally. It's in there. The lyrics are right there.
You
know what I'm saying? That's the explanation.
Right, right. Like, and it almost feels a little gimmicky, too, when you over-explain your work. Like, right. I've been to museums where it's like, I just look at this single stroke painting and like
the title
the title is like Ending World Poverty. I'm like, what?
And that's what they just want you to look at it for another 10 minutes, you know, and try to find it in there. Like, it's like a Where's Waldo.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, everything is just
branding.
Where the
poverty part, where does it end? Where is it, the end of the stroke? Have you, when you moved from Indiana, were you in Koreatown the whole time? Like, you've been here?
I moved it was like the cheapest place I can find. I just moved into a studio off of Ardmore. And I've been here ever since.
That's tight.
I love it here.
What did you, have you worked other jobs when you got here? Like, besides pursuing acting and painting, were you doing any other little jobs or just getting scrapping by with acting and stuff?
Well, literally, I moved to LA, I unloaded my U-Haul, and then walked to like the nearest coffee shop and started Googling what an agent was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was fortunate enough to get a commercial agent in my first week, and then I booked a commercial my second week, which got me into SAG. And I'm thinking like, oh shit, like this shit's taking off. Did I know, like in a year I'd be in a sushi restaurant, it just kind of all just kind of evolved into place. And you know, I think what I really respect about a lot of the pockets in this town is you really have to get after it. You know, you really have 100%. To figure it out. Nothing's set up for anybody. No one's entitled to anything.
Right. And you know, those moments really skew like your perception on success too, because I've done the same thing where early on I booked a gig and I'm like, this shit's gonna be easy. Acting shit's gonna be easy. Like, I booked I remember I got an agent, I booked an acting role within the first like 3 weeks on like Power for like 3 episodes. And then I was like, oh, this shit's fire. And everyone knew about the show. Right. All the people in hip hop loved that show Power. So I was getting all the love from there. And then for like a year, I didn't get anything.
Yeah, totally.
And I was like, oh, damn, this is a reality check. But I auditioned. Right. I had auditioned for everything that was winning, like Emmys and, you know, awards. You know this, like you go audition for these shows that become major hits and you're like, fuck.
Of course.
Been on that.
Yeah, and I mean, I know, to be quite frank, like it's tough for me to watch some of those projects.
Is it?
You know, I mean, there is kind of like an attachment you have when you're just like trying to memorize these lines and get into the character and you go in and they're like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, or sometimes I'll watch it and I'll be like, okay, he's better for the role.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Or sometimes I'd be like, fuck that. I could have killed this role harder than him.
100%.
Yeah, I've been in both situations.
We've met each other.
Yeah, we have.
The audition room.
We auditioned for a movie, and you know who got that part?
No, who?
Bobby Lee.
Oh, you did mention that.
Yeah.
Right.
It was for Keeping Up with the Joneses or something like that.
Okay.
That was the one with John Hamm and Gal Gadot as like a couple, and they're like secret spies or some shit.
Gotcha.
But the role, I remember it was like they went to like the guy takes him to the neighbor, like the square neighbor, to like a cool Chinatown underground fusion spot, and we were like, our character was supposed to be like the owner of that spot, and then Bobby got it. But it makes Bobby is just like, he oozes like funny.
He's the best.
You know, you just look at him, he's just like a funny motherfucker. Like,
I forget where I heard him talk, but it might have been here or on his own on Tiger Belly, but he said something about like the most important thing when you walk into that room is just confidence.
Mm.
You know, and that really shook me, you know.
I mean, he's an OG. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
he's not
just like comedy or sketch, just as an actor, he's been there, you know.
Right.
I imagine all the rooms he's fucking walked into
before,
pre Crazy Rich Asians.
Right. Like, we don't have the same complaints.
No, it's like, yeah. I always, it's so weird just talking about that too, like being like pre Crazy Rich or post Crazy Rich. Like, that was like a thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, definitely.
And I mean, but you were in a movie that was part of the whole wave of that. Searching was part of that shit.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I feel like that, Searching and Crazy Rich, and there was a lot of things happening at the same time. The wave of like music with 88 Rising and all this shit. You know, like, I feel like timing is everything with all these things.
Yeah. And it was completely unexpected. You know? I actually felt like I kind of came to this wave a bit late in terms of my own understanding. Mm. And I feel like it's kind of growing up in the Midwest. You feel like, you're used to competing with all the Devins in the world and whoever it may be. Mm. And so, for me, when I moved out here, it was so ingrained in me to feel a part of the background that I didn't even question these things that were happening.
Right.
You know, going out for Asian guy number three.
Right.
You know, those were just things that I just had accepted over time. Like, oh, of course I would go in for that.
Right.
And so, when this whole wave came about, you know, I just had to do a lot of self-assessing and then trying to figure out, you know, my perspective.
Right.
And, you know, holy shit, like I had a lot of things wrong, you know.
I mean, to be honest, me too, though, because I know when I was in the rap game, like I never thought being Asian was like a crutch. I mean, being Asian was like something that was going to affect me to get in the game.
You don't even think about it.
Well, because I felt like, you know, I stood out. You know, like when I went to my open mics and stuff, it was like 100 black kids and I was the only Asian dude. And my first thought was like, oh shit, motherfucker's gonna listen to me. I'm gonna stick out like a sore thumb, you know? And I always thought it was a good thing. Like, especially coming from a genre where you're supposed to be unique and different and stand out. So I was like, this is gonna be a good thing. Even acting, I feel like when I watched a lot of stuff on television and cable and stuff, of course I didn't see a lot of Asian people, but I didn't really think about it that way. You know, I didn't think like it was gonna be hard for me to get in until actually you're in the business and you realize like, oh shit, like there aren't a lot of roles at the time.
Right.
For just where Asians can just play any fucking thing.
Yeah.
You know, I did start seeing that as I was going out for shit.
Totally.
I did, I was like, oh shit, I'm kind of going out for the same things. I see the same group of people at the thing.
Of course, yeah.
So.
Do you have any horror stories? Audition horror stories?
Not really. Yeah. I mean, the only thing is like when, you know, I know I have to go do accents and shit. Like I have terrible accents. Like I can't do a New York accent.
Yeah.
I can
only do my dad. Yeah, I can't do anything. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
No, I'm just bad at accents. And yeah. I'm not even in front. I don't even get mad about when they tell me to do an accent. Like I just can't do it. I just go in and I just suck at it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's just how you handle it. I mean, honestly.
I think it also depends. Like because I've had times where it's like they'll point it out on the spot.
Mm.
And I'm like, you know, it's one thing if I actually prepare it a certain way and I can make it my own.
What do you mean point it out? Like tell you to do it on the spot?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty fucked up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I had this one audition where it's like I went to the producer session. I mean, you have the initial audition and then the next stage from that is like a producer's reading.
Right.
And so, I go in. And, I've prepared it my own way. And there's like about five producers at this table. And then the guy at the end, right at the end, like just before I'm walking out, it's like, hey, you know what? Could you try that one more time, but with an accent this time?
Yeah.
And, you know, I stood my ground. I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not going to be your little monkey here. Like,
right.
You know, this is just something.
Let me ask you this. Are we allowed to be mad at that point? Because, I mean, they are trying to hear different versions of a character.
Totally.
You know, I don't know. It makes me think if that is something we should be mad about or not, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what were you most mad about? The fact that it wasn't something that was brought to the character early on, right? Like, that's not what they were looking for.
Well, I say I was mad, but, you know, as soon as I walked out, I was, like, fist pumping to myself, saying, like, hell yeah. And then as soon as I get in my car, I'm like...
Maybe
I should have just done it.
Yeah. Yeah. You ever do that shit where like you audition and you're in your car and you're still running your lines and shit?
Oh my Lord.
It's like
the longest drive home.
Yeah. You're like, cause you're like, you go in and you're ready to go in and kill it. You go in and you don't kill it as hard. So the whole drive back, you're doing the lines continuously. Like the audition's over. Like
it's completely irrational.
It's done. Yeah.
Totally.
But I'm running through the lines. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm killing it right now.
Yeah,
I should have fucking killed it in there. I've done that so many times.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the weirdest things will trip me up too in front of an audition, and it's always different. Like it could be me overhearing somebody that's in the room, And that could kind of like fuck me up a little bit.
Right.
Or
I like sometimes overhearing the person ahead of me doing the lines, yeah. and then they're like really whack. You know, they're like extra
yeah,
overdoing
it.
It
definitely builds the confidence.
If they're doing sure. over the top, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do a little bit more chill than right. that motherfucker.
Totally, 100%.
Yeah. That's I've been there too. That's been great.
But I've had lines where it's like, you know, there'll be like, you'll get like three pages of sides, and there'll be like two lines that you just can't get down for some reason. Mm. And so you'll be just like overcrowding your head just trying to get those two lines down. And then you do the audition, and it's like the first line like goes off your head, and you're like,
right.
Oh, my Lord, sucks. Really? So
the worst is when you're telling them, like, can I run that? I'm going to run that back one more time. It's like, oh, fuck, I already lost it.
It's already out the window.
Yeah. Do you run your lines with your girl or what?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's always good to have, like, you know, just somebody you can always run your lines. My friends are assholes. They never want to run lines with me, bro.
Yeah, but she gets exhausted by it, too, every once in a while.
Right, I would think so. I'm like, if you have somebody, I mean, if you're constantly going out for auditions, like, that's like a regular thing with somebody you're reading with.
Right.
Yes, but she's you know, obviously supported. You guys are together.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not going to lie. There are moments where it's like I get sour by her criticisms.
Yeah.
Like she'll literally just be critiquing me like, why are you moving your hands so much?
Yeah. Whatever. But that's good, right? Like, she's
totally. I need that.
Is she a good reader? Because she's not an actress. Is she an actress?
No. She's like, her background's in writing.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And so she knows how to get into a script. Mm. And she just has that understanding where she can just engage with words right. just immediately. And so, and I don't have that. And so it's good to be able to run with somebody like that.
Nice. Yeah. Between like the art world and like the acting world, like what do you hate about both?
Mm. I think he...
Because you're in the art world now, like you're doing shows, you're traveling for, you're selling art. Sure. I'm sure there's things in that world that's, you know, like you said, could be very pretentious. And
I mean, in the art world, I guess in both worlds, I can't say too much because I, you know, to a flaw of mine, like I don't socialize as much as I should. You know, I don't go to these functions. I don't, you know,
like
mix
network
it up with,
and
yeah,
shit.
Which, you know, it's stupid on my part. But the small moments where I do, there's always this kind of ego check that seems to be going around.
In acting or art?
On both sides. Both. Yeah. And I don't think it's even specific to acting and art. I think it's in any field.
Right.
And so there's always this kind of, you realize like, man, like everyone's just as insecure as me. Mm. Like everyone's just trying to figure stuff out.
What would somebody say like in the art world like that feels like that? Like if someone came up to you, like how are they ego checking you?
Well, I mean, again, like I haven't experienced
it. Is it like another artist or something like between another artist?
I mean, I personally haven't experienced it, but again, that's just because I'm just always painting. But I think for me, it's like it's because we're in this age of social media, it's to find that right balance of trying to create a presence and also try to be purely creative is very difficult.
Right.
And I struggle with it myself.
It's always been like that, the art and the business, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you take somebody like Basquiat, for example, like you hear people all the time, like Basquiat was out there. Like, you know, he was with Warhols. He was constantly networking. And, you know, to his credit, I mean, he was a businessman, you know?
Yeah.
But I think what people don't give him enough credit for is when he wasn't out, he was constantly working. He was painting,
oh, for sure.
You know, whether it be on drugs or not, like the dude was just, he was fucking working constantly.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that people don't, in this age, people don't really kind of fall back to. You know, everybody feels like there's a magic pill out there to become successful or whoever the fuck, you know.
No, it always comes down to the work and the productivity,
right?
You know, and the focus you have in it, just producing art, you know.
Totally.
People always ask, like, I think people spend more time asking questions about how to make it than actually making stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's how I feel like nowadays. Like, everyone always wants to go to a panel or look up videos about, you know, the inspirational dudes, right?
Right.
Or like
right.
preaching to you, yelling at your fucking face.
Sure.
But it's such a simple thing.
Right.
You just got to produce stuff and make stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's no one way about it.
You know,
like everyone's just trying to figure themselves out.
Yeah. The business, that's always a struggle. I mean, I it's always been a roller coaster where I like putting myself out. Sometimes I like being private.
Totally.
You know, and when you start putting yourself out too much, you feel shitty. You feel like your soul's dying. And then like, I got to chill and stop being in videos.
Right.
Go black out of social media for a while. Yeah. Like, it gets like that. It's a tough self-destructive journey, this artist's life.
Yeah, but you know, I do believe there's an artistry in business. You know,
yeah,
I think
that's a good point.
The people that are able to kind of mesh that line, you know, I have tremendous respect for.
And like Donald Trump? No, I'm fucking with you.
Totally.
Gotcha. No.
But yeah, and that's something that for me, just being purely just an old school painter, I was not business savvy at all. And so again, when I met my lady, you know, for her background's in marketing and
she helped you get your business cracking on the art.
She is my girlfriend, she is my spiritual helper, she is my business manager. I mean, she really does.
Oh wow, really? That's dope.
Yeah, totally, 100%. And you know, just and for me, like, just the little nuances that, like, I was so blind to, of like, did you post today? Like, okay.
Oh wow.
So like, I'll post.
So she'll say that to you.
Yeah, and you know, I'll post something and she'll be like, yeah, did you put a caption on it? I'm like, no. It's like, and you know, these are little things.
Come on, fam, put a caption on that motherfucker, dude.
I know, you know, just being able to like translate that message to people. Like, it's not enough to be like a pure artist anymore. I don't even know what the fuck that is anymore.
Right.
You know,
right.
You have to, the reality of the situation is, if you know, you have to be able to balance both sets.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel you, bro.
And I remember when I first moved out here, one of the first few times we met, I remember I asked you, I was like, because I think you were selling the Kreatown t-shirts. And you had like a box of, you have boxes of them at your place. And one of the first business tips I got in LA were was from you saying, you should create a fake email.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's like, classic. What? It's like classic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, negotiating your own deals is a difficult thing. Because sometimes we're artists. If you want to be the business guy, make it a separate business guy. It should become from the artist.
Sure.
You know, like, I feel like when the artist talks business, it takes away from the mystique of them being an artist.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, it's just people don't like that. It's like cringy, like almost like you hearing this artist go off on the business part.
Right.
I mean, to me, it's not pleasing to hear an artist just talk about business side of things.
Yeah, I mean, there's a line to it.
There is.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I feel like I bring it up if I know, like it's like, oh, dude, like, let's not forget that exists too. You know, when people don't know, have the nunchi of like, that's also part of it, you know?
Sure.
But I don't like to handle it, you know? And it's always nice to just leave that to the business people who handle your shit.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't have a team on me, you know, I just do everything myself. And I think that's been really fun too.
Yeah.
You know, just I think being in the acting side for so long where you don't feel like you have a grasp on anything, I feel like it's nice to have something where truly I pull the strings on everything.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of God complex that becomes very addicting. You know?
It's builds a lot of confidence in your self-worth a little bit too,
totally,
I feel like.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I am worth $5,000. At least. Well, Diana, the show is dropping in Los Angeles. And yes, you said that there's some other people involved in it as well. Other artists.
Yeah, Diana, my lady, she's also going to, we're going to do a collaboration where she's going to be writing at the show.
That's cool.
Or not writing at the show, but having her writing at the show.
Yeah,
and
that's cool.
And her younger sister, who is an incredible photographer, Sarah Rue. She's we're also doing a collaboration as well at the art show, so
it's a family affair.
Yeah, it's gonna be really fun. Yeah,
where was it at? Where's the show at?
No Wave, NOHWAVE.
Oh, No Wave.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, look out for No Wave, the next show by Joseph Lee in the streets. Yo, thanks for pulling up to the show,
dude.
Man.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you, bro. Is there any film projects you're gonna be showing up on the next couple months or anything?
I mean, nothing concrete right now.
Okay.
It was a bit of a downtime, but I just got a script that just came through my email, so you know, we'll see what happens. Yeah.
That's what's up, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, man.
Joseph Lee. Tune in next week for another episode of Fun with Dumb. Hee.